How can two walk together unless they agree? Can they? No. And see what happens? They go their own way. And they divorce. But from the beginning, Jesus said, it was not so. In creation at the beginning, before sin entered the world, divorce existed not because the sin. Divorce existed. Because sin entered the world. Divorce existed because self became their God. And it is so today. And so now in this fallen world, God, in his mercy, he permits divorce as a last option when unrepentant sin is causing harm to one or the other.
Greetings, brothers and sisters in the Lord. We welcome you to the podcast of Calvary Chapel Echo Park here in Los Angeles, California. To find out more about our fellowship, please visit us online at ccechopark.com. And now let's humbly turn our eyes to our Father in heaven as we open his word. We will be in the New Testament book of Matthew. Let's join Pastor David Higa with the teaching as we set our hearts and minds on the Lord.
Let's begin right here at verses 31 and 32. Let me read them again. It says, furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. No mention of marriage. The inference is they're married. But he's really addressing divorce, isn't he? But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality or unfaithfulness causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Wow. You know, it's been said, and rightly so, that when it comes to interpreting the Bible, that what? Context is king. You ever hear that? That's what has been said. Context is king. Now, it doesn't take a Bible scholar to know this. It is an obvious truth, even when you read your local newspaper, right? Context is king in anything that you interpret. Because anyone can take a word or a sentence or even a short paragraph out of context and manipulate its meaning. You know what that's called? The art of deception. And you know what? People are really good at it, aren't they? But one of the keys to understanding real truth in the Bible is to interpret Scripture within the context of surrounding Scripture. Within the immediate context of a sentence and paragraph, and then even the book, and even the whole of the Bible. And so it's very important for us in this topic of marriage, not to just cherry pick. It is very important, especially on a topic on divorce, that we read and interpret things in context. And so let's consider these two verses in the Sermon on the Mount on marriage and divorce within the immediate context of the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard it said that you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The letter of the law in this commandment is not to commit physical adultery. But what's the intent? It's to not have lust in your heart. Remember also that it's the intent that makes us guilty. Remember that? And that is why Paul concluded, the law is our tutor to bring us to our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. So the intent of the law is to therefore bring us to Christ. There's the letter of the law. I may not have ever been unfaithful. I may have not ever murdered, but I got to tell you, I've had anger. And I've had lust in my heart. So what? I'm guilty. Everyone, there is none righteous, no, not. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And really, the inference is going right back to what Jesus said here. There's the letter of the law and there's the intent of the law. If you have anger without a cause, or if you had lust in your heart, if you looked at a woman lately and you just had a lust in your heart, you know what that means? You're guilty. You're going down. There's none righteous, no, not one. And so this is the immediate context of our Sermon on the Mount passage on marriage and divorce. Isn't that the context here? And so Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 and 32 says, and these are Jesus' words, furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say unto you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason, except sexual immorality or unfaithfulness, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. So the prior context provides us with a framework on interpreting the letter of this law and its intent, doesn't it? So what does the letter of the law say? Well, he just stated it. He just stated it right here in verse 31. The only allowance for divorce, what the letter says, the only allowance for divorce is marital unfaithfulness. And then he goes on to say, if you remarry someone that's divorced, that it is outside them being unfaithful, then you are being unfaithful. You are committing adultery. Isn't that what he's saying? This is what the letter of the law says. But I want you to step back and look at the context. There's the letter of the law versus what? The spirit of the law. But I say to you is the spirit of the law. It has been said is the letter of the law. Now, the prior context, as I mentioned, discerns between the two. But now regarding marriage and divorce, that's the specific topic here. And so let's begin to look at these verses carefully. Now I want you to notice that the letter of the law as given by Moses allows for divorce under certain circumstances, under really one he spells out. But you know what? I want you to notice this. The letter of the law allows for divorce. But I want you to notice its intent. What's the intent? The intent doesn't. I want you to notice that. The letter of the law allows for the divorce. And we're going to see, because of the hardness of heart, Jesus is going to expand this teaching in Matthew chapter 19. But you know what the intent is? It's to stay married. And that is why, notice the words, let him. It does not say demand him or command him. It says let him give her a certificate of divorce. God permits it. He doesn't command it. But also notice in verse 32, the but I say to you intent makes divorce as difficult as possible. Think about it. Look at verse 32. That makes divorce very difficult. Because you know what it's saying? Let me read that again. It says, but I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. This is the intent of the law. What's the intent doing? It's saying, don't get divorced. That's what it's saying. You know, this verse should cause all of us to think twice about divorce. You know what Jesus is saying here? He's saying that if you divorce for any other reason than sexual immorality, you cannot remarry. Otherwise, you would be living in sin. Isn't that what he's saying? This reveals God's deeper intent of the law, which is what? Don't get divorced. To stay married. Understand? There's the letter which permits, but God's deep intent is that you stay married. And he makes it as difficult as possible. Now, he does give the allowance. And we're going to see why. Now, notice too that God only permits divorce, but not only because of sexual immorality, but more importantly, and this is, I think, very, very important to know, he gives the permission because of a certain act of sin, sexual immorality. But you know, more importantly, it is because of hardened and even calloused hearts that get damaged from unrepentant sin. Now you can see that in marriages all over today. The damage from unrepentant sin and the calloused and hard hearts when you have abuse, emotional, physical even. Hearts are what? Calloused over. This is where we need to cross-reference to Matthew chapter 19, where Jesus gives a fuller teaching on this topic of marriage and particularly on the topic of divorce. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 19, our first cross-reference. Matthew chapter 19, right at verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. Now, I want you to notice the context of this passage. This is what Jesus does, like in the Sermon on the Mount, but he's addressing a certain people that are trying to test him. How does he address it? Well, he again separates the letter of the law from its intent. And so that's an important, important observation to make. Again, he's separating the letter of the law versus its intent, okay? And so the Pharisees, they ask this question, when is it lawful to divorce? Now, do you think they're asking the question to be given an answer? No, they're asking the question to test and to try to trap Jesus, right? You always have to wonder this, right? You know, there's people that answer. There's two types of people, really. People that answer, ask you a question because they really want to know. And people that ask you a question because they really want to show you what they know. They don't want an answer, really. And so the Pharisees, they're the latter, right? So they ask Jesus this question on the law of divorce. Now, verse 1, chapter 19, says this. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he, Jesus, answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together in marriage, that's my addition, let not man separate in divorce. That's my addition. Verse 7, and they said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? Good question. The law says to do it, right? And then Jesus said to them, Moses, because of the what? Hardness of your hearts. Commanded? No, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, as we read in the Sermon on the Mount, and marries another, commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. And so you can see this is a fuller teaching. Now, it includes the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, but it's a fuller teaching. And he's specifically answering the question, why does the law then say to divorce? And so he's going to answer this question, and he answers it right here. How does he answer? Well, he goes all the way back to creation. Now, verse 10 says, and then his disciples said to him, if such is the case of the man with his wife, it is better not to marry. And you can read on there in verse 11, Jesus starts to explain about celibacy and how that's a gift. It's a spiritual gift. It's a gift given to some. Right? Now, in this fuller teaching, notice that Jesus takes them all the way back to the creation account. Genesis chapter 2, when marriage was first created. You notice that? In his answer, marriage was created in the beginning, before or after the law? Before the law, before it was ever written. Have you not read that he who made them, what? At the beginning, he said, made them male and female. And Jesus went on to say, so then, they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined in marriage, let not man separate. In divorce. But notice the response that Jesus had to their question on the law of Moses that commanded to give her a certificate of divorce and to put it away. He took them all the way back to God's original design of marriage in creation. Before or after the law? Before. Before or after sin? When was marriage created? Before or after sin entered the world? Before. You notice that? Now that there, I believe, is the key. And that's why he takes them all the way back to creation. Before the law, and even more so before sin entered the law. I mean, before sin entered the world. And really, because of sin, that's why the law came to be. That's why the law entered. The sin, or the law is what? Written for the lawless, Paul said, right? If no one breaks the law, then you don't need the law. But why did the law come? Because sin came. But creation of marriage was before both. You see, the law only comes into effect after sin. When there's no sin, there's no need for law. Therefore, the intent of the law of divorce is predicated upon sin and the hardness of heart thereof. But God's intent, his best in marriage, is for you to stay married, is for you to not sin. You understand? God's perfect creation of marriage, therefore, appeals to God's intent to stay married. But God's permission to divorce is granted in the letter of the law. It's an act of his mercy upon those who are irreparably harming the other because of their sin. Unrepentant sin. You see, the permission of divorce in the law is God's mercy upon one or the other, or both, in a marriage that are being torn from top to bottom. Irreparable damage. Irreparable harm. And I got to tell you, people, there's a lot of marriages that are like that. Now, I don't counsel a lot, but I've counseled enough to see, even when the woman is being beaten, irreparable harm. And so because of unrepentant sin, in God's mercy, he allows for divorce. He doesn't command it. It's not his best, but for unrepentant sin that is going to devastate and destroy the person, he permits it. Moses said, because of the hardness, or Jesus said, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, he permitted divorce, didn't command it. The letter of the law permits it, it doesn't command it. And this underscores God's heart His best is marriage for life. But what produces a hardened heart? Sin. And there's a lot of that going around in marriages these days. I don't know about you, I'd say it's an epidemic. The result of sin is a hardened, calloused, and even an insensate heart. Insensate means they can't even feel anymore. Hearts are being torn apart in bad marriages, and so in God's mercy, he permits divorce. And literally, I believe it's for survival. But divorce is definitely not his best. Now, some would say that, well, the letter of the law allows for divorce only under this one circumstance, marital unfaithfulness. Now, I personally strongly disagree with that. I think it's a misinterpretation as you take a step back and you weigh the letter of the law versus its intent. What does Jesus emphasize? The letter? No, its intent. And I think that's where a lot of us make mistakes. Like the scribes and the Pharisees, they went to the letter of the law, but Jesus says, hey, look for its intent. I disagree. And I disagree from the scriptures. I believe that there are other types of sin in marriage that is just as severe, even more than marital unfaithfulness. And you can fill in the blanks. Rape, abuse, beatings, even emotional abuse. You see, the intent of the law supersedes the letter. As Jesus, he clearly taught this in the Sermon on the Mount, didn't he? The intent of the law supersedes the letter. We are after God's heart, his intent. And so I believe that physical and emotional abuse in a marriage also leaves the door open for divorce. Now, each individual circumstance is different. But in the context of the whole of God's word, I believe God permits, he doesn't command, he permits divorce. Under certain very dire circumstances. In God's mercy, he allows divorce as an option to avoid irreparable harm. It is not his best plan. But I got to tell you, with unrepentant sin in a bad marriage and the dangers thereof, it certainly can be a better plan than remaining married. And so let's go back now and see what God's design for marriage is in creation. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2 and give you time to get there. I want to end on a good note. God created marriage, not how he allows for divorce. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. He goes all the way back to creation. That's what Jesus quoted, right? In Matthew chapter 19, as he answered the questioning of the Pharisees. He goes preceding, before the law. And he goes before sin. Because if there's no sin, there's no need for law, right? Paul said, the law is for the lawless, not for the righteous. And so he goes all the way back to the heart and the design of marriage. Verse 18, Genesis chapter 2, says this, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Verse 19. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. And so Adam gave names to all cattle, to all the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Verse 22, and then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he had made into woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Verse 24, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. A new family, a new house. And they shall become what? One flesh, two becoming one. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And so when Jesus quotes the law, he says, or the intent of the law, he says, that which God has put together, the two becoming one, in marriage, let man not separate in divorce. He allows, he permits it, but he doesn't command it. Okay? Now, notice in verse 18, of our Genesis chapter 2 passage, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. As you comb through the scriptures on creation, you will find that everything God creates is good. Matter of fact, it's exceedingly good. So marriage, did he create it? You know what? Yeah. Marriage is good. It is exceedingly good. But notice, it was created before sin. You know what makes marriage not so good? Is sin and hardness of heart. The world was perfectly created and all living creatures were created without sin. Sin did not come into the world until Genesis chapter 3, a whole chapter later, right? And so here in Genesis 2, everything is good except one thing. And that one thing was man, or Adam, was alone without a wife. And so God created woman out of man for companionship. Why did God create woman? For companionship. You see, the husband is to the wife for companionship. The wife is to the husband for companionship. This is the one thing that God did not do in creation until that time. And so God created woman for companionship, for intimacy, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. The two shall become one flesh, it says here in Genesis, in creation. And they were both naked, the man and his wife. And notice they were not ashamed. Why? You know why they weren't ashamed? Because it wasn't sin yet. And the thing is, they weren't ashamed because they weren't looking at themselves. I gotta tell you, you look in the mirror, a lot of shame. It's true, right? That's why it's funny. Right? It's true. So you don't want to look in the mirror, you want to look what? Look at the Lord, huh? You know, in God's perfect creation, he created the perfect union of man and woman. He created marriage for companionship. Marriage was created to be a blessing. And you know what, people? He created that blessing especially for you. Don't look past that. Why did he create marriage? To be a blessing. And he created it for you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Calvary Chapel Echo Park podcast. If you are in the LA area, you are invited to fellowship with us. We are a simple and small church with humble hearts serving a mighty and magnificent God. If you need prayer, please reach out to us and we will pray for you. Visit us online at ccechopark.com. To God be the glory.